I'm gonna tell you a story. At first, it's gonna sound ridiculous. But the longer I talk...
We have to find the keys.
The more rational it's going to appear.
I can't believe you found coffee.
Sugar, right?
Yeah.
Hold on. Three. You like three.
How many times have we been here? How many times?
For me, it's been an eternity. The invasion will fail.
We lose everything.
I die within 5 minutes of landing on that beach, along with every other soldier.
How did you do that?
Come on!
Come find me when you wake up!
The greatest action movie of the year. No, I was playing, not that great, but...
Greatest sci-fi of the year.
Okay, I can fill it out then. It is, people, Edge of Tomorrow review. Goddamn, man, I want to go see this movie again.
Did you see it again last night?
No, I did not get a chance to or whatever and shit, because I was getting ready to travel overseas. No, over the desert, yeah. So I didn't get a chance to, but I really wanted to go see it again.
This is a movie you could watch, I'm not joking, over and over again.
Yeah, and the funny thing is, it plays over and over again.
True.
and actually, you know, I thought it was going to be like a straight, the way the trailer portrays it, it's going to be like a straight drama sci-fi, but it is a lot of comedic takes in the movie.
Yeah, I mean, watching the trailer, you're thinking Groundhog Day.
Yeah, watching the movie, you're thinking Groundhog Day.
Yeah, but the innovative ways that Cruise kept dying.
Yeah, oh.
It was funny.
You know what, this is the best video game movie ever.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Oh my god, did you not get, like, did you put a controller in your hand, though? Like, it's just like...
Dude, this... This is probably, like, the closest thing we'll get to, like, Halo.
You know what? I'm glad you brought that up. I thought this... They should just slapped on the Halo instead of Edge of Tomorrow. Just call it Halo. This movie would have been number one for God knows how long.
Exactly.
They should have slapped on... Because I thought it was Halo meets Gears of War.
Oh, yeah. That's a damn good comparison.
Yeah, I thought it was also... At least when I first saw it, I was just like... Why are they calling it Edge Tomorrow? It's like, even the chick, your girl, your badass girl, Emily Blunt, love her, who plays Reed in the movie, she carries around a big-ass Final Fantasy sword and shit.
Dude, when she walked off the plane, dragging that thing, I swear to God, I thought it was like fucking like something from like Silent Hill, like the movie.
Silent Hill or... Oh my
God. Something like that. Dude... This is the first, I want to say, action movie I've seen her in. She's got some fucking game.
She's definitely on my radar now, let's say that. After seeing this, she is definitely on my radar. She plays the badass, but yet can be emotionally intact still perfectly.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember the last time I saw Emily Blunt this goddamn phenomenal.
Looper?
Yeah, that was 2 years ago. I was thinking like more like, you know, in like recent time. But yeah, you're right. Looper, she was amazing in as well. But I was thinking of something like, you know, in recent memory. Oh, you know what? She did, if I'm not mistaken, she did in that Japanese Miyazaki movie I saw.
Wind Rises.
The Wind Rises, yeah. She did a voice act in there. I didn't even know that. You know what? I didn't listen to the English version. That's why. So
okay.
I had the Japanese dubbed one in my theater. But the lady who told me he had the English version, he said she was good. So.
She is a really good actress, too. I like her a lot.
Oh, my God. The relationship, you think it's going to be like a straight love angle thrown in here? It's so subtle and clever. You barely notice. You don't notice it because it really isn't. But towards the end of the film, that's where it starts to develop a little bit more.
And he actually develops feelings for her.
And I think they did it in a smart way of... going what you said of developing feelings is because he's seen her die so many times. that he starts to get a little emotional about seeing this same girl that he's hanging out with and has to reintroduce himself over and over again. She just dies in his hand. No matter what he does, he can save her. I thought that was a really cool concept. That one scene they had in the barn when she asked him how many times we've been here, and he said, no matter what I do, I can't save you. It's just, yeah. I was just like, man, this is some good shit right here. And I was like, god damn.
To play off that, too, because she had this power that she kept reliving over and over, that even in the car ride, that she fell in love with someone that she could not save. So
true.
I like that. I like that tie-in.
That's why she's so cold-hearted, and they call her. What's her nickname in the movie? Full Metal Bitch.
Love that. Love it. was Master Sergeant.
Badass movie.
She was Master Sergeant.
Yeah, she was. I can't. This is a badass movie, man. You walk in here, it is straight fun from beginning all the way to end.
Mm-hmm.
It's got some comedic takes in there. The action is good. The sci-fi element to it is. The drama in it. The tearful. Whenever they try to get you hit in with an emotional punch, I think it works as well. I mean, this is what summer movies is about, man.
This is... Oh, dude, you fucking hit it right. You hit the nail on the head. This is a perfect summer movie. You get everything you want. You're not bored.
I had no summer movies on my best of list last year. But if it doesn't come down to the great Oscar films we had like last year or whatever, I can see this definitely on my top 10 best of list.
Me too. I'm with you.
This was a badass movie, man. I wish it was coming out on Blu-ray right now so I could put it on.
This for the blockbusters from this summer, from May until today, this trumps every single one of them.
Oh, yeah, and it's going to get better next week, too. I've already seen two of the movies coming out, whatever. They're just as good as well.
Yeah, so, but
I hope the rest of the summer... You know, we didn't give a plot synopsis. I just thought about it.
And we didn't even introduce it. I'm not Lehu.
Yeah, exactly. You're not Lehu. You're the other white guy. Z. Hey, well, you want to do the honors of the plot synopsis here?
Sure. Pretty much, it's 5 years. I don't. What was the time? I don't know the time date of this.
You know, I don't remember. I don't think they ever said it, if I'm not mistaken. Maybe it's in a synopsis. If I look at, no, I don't see it in the synopsis either. So yeah, I don't think they brought it up.
Yeah, I don't think it's brought up. I think it's just set in current time.
Mm-hmm. And it's set in around the European seas, or
more. Yeah, it's all European. It's all European. Pretty much, a meteor hits England or Europe.
It was England.
And pretty much all these aliens called mimics
start spreads like virus.
Dude, these things are badass too. And
did you see that map of the European world, whatever? How it just kept covering up in red. I was like, god damn, dude. And I thought they did a good job too with not showing that thing right away until they got into the actual war.
Yeah. Yeah, that was that. I mean, this was so smartly done.
Yeah, but you can.
And pretty much, we go to Tom Cruise, who is, he's a PR guy for the Army, the U.S.
Actually,
Army.
He's like, high in command of but he's like a behind-the-desk kind of commander.
Yeah, you know? He's a major, and,
He's a coward.
Yeah, exactly. And he's thrown in to the mix, and, pretty much after the very first time on the beach, which I thought Saving Private Ryan on the beach.
Oh, yeah, yeah. They blatantly stole a scene from. But you know what? Out of all the times I've seen something blatantly stolen, I thought this was the most clever because they did something different with it as well.
Yeah, and he kills this thing called an alpha, which I believe it's like the
it's like the king.
The king of the jungle, king of the mimics.
Yeah, the king of the animals, whatever. And they got like a special blood or whatever. And I guess when Tom Cruise killed this thing, his blood must have infused with this guy, with Tom Cruise's blood or whatever, and gave him his powers, I guess.
Yeah.
To relive.
And pretty much anytime Cruise dies, he just relives the whole thing, and then it's pretty much, what can I do? What, you know, how do I change the future, and how do I change this day, and just keeps going and going and going.
It's a great time. It's been done before as far as time traveling in this genre of films or whatever and stuff like that. But I think this is a great way of introducing a new way of time traveling.
Such a smart way to do it. The blood of an alien.
Emily Blunt must be the sci-fi queen right now, because Looper, where they did the time traveling, I thought they did that smart in there.
Maybe they're getting smart on time travel movies.
What was that romantic comedy last year, About Time? I thought that was just uniquely clever.
Doesn't Michael Bay got a time travel movie coming up soon?
Is he directing that or producing that?
I think he's producing it. I mean, it was supposed to come out this January, then it got pushed back, and I don't know what the hell happened to it.
Yeah, because I saw trailers of it earlier this year, but I don't see nothing for it now.
Yeah,
so
it looks decent, but this is like, this and Looper, it's got to be one of the smartest with the same rehashing and repeats.
Yeah.
It's just cleverly done. It's amazing.
Never once get bored with the repeatness of
those. No, because they don't keep showing the same thing. At first, I think they did it twice, and then they just started cutting it. Like they did with the one black sergeant kept yelling at him.
And once again, it's like a video game. And people's like, why do you say that? It's because every time he dies and goes back to this war, he's almost like trying to memorize what to do to kill these things and stay alive or whatever. And he dies repeatedly. There's even scenes where he just gets tired of it and Emily Blunt's laying there dead and shit like that. It's just like, he's just like, man, you can't live through this. I will say this to another thing, Z. My favorite part of this movie is at the beginning. Well, one of my favorite parts is at the beginning. This is the best movie because, you know, everybody makes that joke about Tom Cruise's running. This is the best movie where Tom Cruise ran.
It was. Well, he's in this fucking ectoskeleton suit.
Before the ectoskeleton suit, you remember when he tried to bribe the general?
Oh!
And then, the general said, arrest this man or whatever. And then he looked at him and
he just ran. He ran like he stole fucking lunch money.
He avoided like 20 cops that was right there though. I was just like, you know what, I would have did the same thing.
and it's cool,
the
like
I did that was because the general for some reason was just being a dick that day and decided to throw Tom Cruise in the war and be the first man to enter into whatever, like they're on the first ground or whatever shit. And next you know Tom Cruise like as a coward he's just like I don't fucking get in the war, I don't even like the sight of blood, hold on, what's going on here? Fuck that shit.
One of my favorite scenes when he was training.
Yeah.
And with those robots, and he broke his leg, and he goes, I'm fine. I'm fine.
Actually, that's not even a scene. That's like a montage of scenes too, because each one I thought was funny as hell.
Broke his back. He broke his leg, and he goes, oh, we gotta start over.
Yeah, because they explain people. Emily Blunt explains that the way she lost her the power of how she can come back to life is, which is because they set her up as the badass because she had this power. So she killed like 100 of these things, and people was wondering like, why? How did she do that or whatever? And obviously, we found out that she has the power to. She lost powers because she got injured on the field and she bled out. So they replaced her blood with another donor.
Yeah.
And that's how she lost her power. So her thing is, if Tom Cruise gets injured, make sure to kill yourself so you can start all over again, because if you get injured, then they're going to replace your blood with someone else's blood, and you're going to lose that power, and we can't win this war. And, dude, I got to say, when that happened towards the end of the film, shit got intense.
It was, because she was going to kill him.
Yeah, it really got intense, like, when he lost the blood and had to switch it out. And, to be honest, we all know the heroes live in these movies. I didn't see how they were going to make it out of this.
No, because pretty much he had to start from scratch, because they're trying to find this thing called Omega.
Yeah.
That pretty much, it's, think Star
it's
Wars.
Like the mothership, if anything.
Yeah, think like Star Wars, that you destroy the spaceship, all the robots on the bottom die.
Yeah.
So that's the best comparison I can have. And this Omega
wasn't even like a space, it was more like the brain of everything.
Yeah. And the smart thing is, the cool thing, when she dies and he goes on by himself.
Yeah.
And,
oh, that was a badass when the scene, because the music in here is fucking excellent.
Yeah, when he goes, because the Omega, there, he's seeing visions of where it is, because they know that she knows that they gotta kill the Omega to win the war, and he goes to this, looks like the Hoover Dam type thing.
Yeah, in Germany.
In Germany, and it was a trap, because Omega is so smart that it knew that Cruz's character had this power.
The best thing about that too is because this is the scene where he starts to fall for Emily Blunt's character a little bit. He's starting to come in touch with her, and there's a scene where she dies in his hands, and then he shoots himself again. One of the things attacks him, and he dies. And instead of going to Emily Blunt's character this time, he just said, no, I'm going to act as if I never know her, and I'm just going to do this on my own.
Yeah, I love the part when he went to fucking England.
Oh, my God.
He just said, fuck it, I'm just going to go to England.
After that scene where he just realized, he's like, no, I'm not even going to talk to her this time, whatever, and stuff. And when he lands back on the battlefield, you remember the fat guy that was waving?
Yeah.
Hey, we made it! He didn't even look at him this time. He just kept walking in that thing.
Yeah, this is the beauty with Cruise. These movies, his facial expressions, his little quirks, they work. This is Mission Impossible, what he can do here.
Cruise has, for me, I never really cared about Cruise at the beginning of his career, but I think with the last Mission Impossible, after that, he's almost done a Matthew McConaughey.
Yeah, he can rebuild himself.
He's kind of rebuilt himself in his career. Where Matthew McConaughey went to the indie side of filmmaking and started really acting instead of just being the pretty boy taking his shirt off, whatever. And I think Tom Cruise has gotten away from being that I'm the simple nice guy that stars in these and does what I do. I think after Mission Impossible, Jack Reacher, and even Oblivion for that matter, because I thought he was good in that film. I just think the film wasn't handled well. I think he's just been on a roll for me, and I've been actually liking him lately as the past movies he's done. He's been really good lately. In this one, he really sells all of his comedic timings, his acting timing, and whatever notes he has to hit, he hits it right on point.
Like, you've seen Tropic Thunder, Night and Day, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was great in those, too. Especially Night and Day, he brought the comedy.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Maybe
Tom Cruise is an exceptional actor these days.
Yeah, maybe it could just be the writing. It's just so cool how he just... He's a really good action actor. I know it's very... He doesn't look like it, but he is.
The funny thing is, because that's another joke about Tom. Oh, he's too short to do that, whatever. And this is action movies. I barely noticed a man's size and shit. Mm. Person don't give a fuck what size he is, whatever shit. He sells it, okay? That's all that matters, whatever shit.
Yeah.
Man, just talking about it, you make me want to go see it right now.
I do too. This is such a good movie. I mean,
yeah, I liked X-Men, but this one left a better impression on me than X-Men did.
I mean, X-Men's not a movie you can see again in the theaters.
I have no intention of really rushing out to go see it again like I do with this one. I thought it was decent for what it was. It's a good film. But like you said, there's problems in it as well. But in this one has me wanting to go see it like right away. I have to see it. I have to help it. You know.
Mm-hmm. And the directing. Oh my God, Doug Liman.
This is his best film ever, dude. I looked this guy up and I was just like, I don't love the guy, but I think his films are just like eh.
He started off indie. He started off indie with Swingers and Go.
Yeah.
Then he got Bourne Identity. Mr. and Mrs.
And see, I'm not a fan of the Bourne Identity films like that much.
I like them. Mm-hmm. Then Mr. and Mrs. Smith, and then Jumper and whatever, but he's doing Splinter Cell next year.
See, Mr. and Mrs. Smith, that's a guilty pleasure movie for me.
It is.
Yeah, I don't think it's good, but I kind of like it. But yeah, like you said, in Edge of Tomorrow... Man, when I found out this guy was a director, I was just like, oh, it's probably going to be Oblivion all over again because of this guy, whatever. This is his, without a doubt, this is his best fucking film he's produced.
It is. And, you know, its budget is $170 million.
Real well worth it, too.
And
I think this is definitely one of those films I saw this year with a high-ass budget. I was just like, you know what? The money was worth it.
Right now, they're estimating about $71 million.
Oh, really? Because, man, they were estimating like $20 million this weekend.
No way. I do not see this being $20 million. Tom Cruise...
I don't know about you, but my screener was crowded.
I went to the first showing. That was at 11:30. It was 11:30 on a Friday, so, you know, not packed.
They're saying that Tom Cruise's movies don't make that much money these days no more. I'm just like,
We have a new batch of actors.
What was that?
We have a new batch of actors.
That is true, but Tom Cruise has been, like I said, he's been knocking it out of the park. The ending part of this movie, can we talk about that now? Because goddamn, yeah. I was on the edge of my seat.
They go into the Louvre in Paris.
Yeah, they went to, where was it, Paris, right?
Paris. And,
yeah, they went to Paris, dude, and they got the old team they got together, whatever, the J team that Tom Cruise was signed up with in the first place or whatever. And my God, that plane scene, dude, was I had me. I was like, they gonna die, dude. They're not gonna make it.
And the cool thing about this is you only focus because he's paired up with this team and you meet him for a few minutes at the start, but they move away from that and then it's just Cruz and Blunt, which is cool because I don't care about this.
Did those actors have a name? I didn't recognize who any of them were.
Neither. The only one I knew was Bill Paxton and he was fucking awesome.
Yeah, Bill Paxton was the only one I recognized. Everybody else I didn't recognize. And you know what? I think that's a great way of introducing unknown actors as well, because I thought they were fine. I thought they were pretty funny, too.
Yeah. I think one guy I recognized, he was in Attack the Block. The black guy.
I can't remember. I didn't hear his accent. That's why. If he was hiding his accent, because everybody in Attack the Block was British. It was a British film, so.
He could have held
he
it.
That, then. Damn, okay then.
Because he looks familiar. But
the ending action, those people think the ship goes down. Tom Cruise says, we don't need to fly. We can use the engine, just push it through. And they're using the mechs to, like, shoot down all these things. Because, damn, these dudes are vicious, dude. These motherfuckers are relentless.
What exactly were they?
To be honest, I didn't even know. It looked like they were organisms, like the alpha male or whatever it was called.
The alpha male looked like a fucking lion.
He looked like a lion, but like he was like, it looked like cells were flowing around him and shit.
Yeah,
like that.
So blue. He had a blue flame in his mouth.
Yeah, he looked like a living. He looked like a living organism. I think they even touched on that when he was talking to the doctor, the so called crazy doctor, or whatever, shit like that. That they live and breathe off organisms and shit like that, whatever. The minion ones, I couldn't tell what they were because they look metal.
Look like spiders?
Yeah, like spiders, the way their legs move. But when you got close up on them, they looked like as if they had flesh, too.
Yeah, and how cool was it during, I think they showed it a few times, that they were hiding in the sand of the beach.
Yeah, dude. Oh,
dude, that was so, especially when they're like, oh, they're coming. They got their heat, they have their heat radar. They're like, oh, they're coming. And all of a sudden, it's right below him, and Cruz is the only one, and no one's listening to him at all.
You remember the fifth time Cruz died, and then, like, he comes back, and then when the thing was coming underground, Cruz just running around in circles shooting at the thing. I was like, man, this dude.
My best death I love of him is when he was trying to roll under the Jeep.
Oh, yeah.
And Bill Paxton's like, damn, what the hell were you doing?
He said, what the hell is he thinking?
That was the best test scene. The comedy is not, it doesn't overshadow the movie. It's just, it's kind of like, think of Avengers.
I was going to say, dude, maybe Marvel needs to look into this guy, whatever, because he did a great job on action and directing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, action comedy as that or whatever. His action comedy was on par with a Marvel film.
That's what... Did you ever have a feeling that you're watching a superhero movie?
The funny thing is, this movie has so many different genres, a genre takes to it. I thought I was getting a little bit of everything.
Yeah.
I thought I got a taste of everything, like I said earlier, whatever. You get some comedic takes in there, you get action, there's some drama thrown in there, there's emotion scenes or whatever and stuff like that. There's good, there's even some horror elements, if you will. These things are fucking scary, I'm sorry.
Especially the Alpha.
Oh, hell yeah, dude. When he ran in that thing and when he was in the dam, I was like, okay, you're fucked, dude.
Yeah. And the ending, she pretty much...
These things are effective. That's why I think it's so scary. These things are... They run in droves, and they're effective.
And they're unpredictable.
Hell yeah. And plus, you find out that they got a brain, too. You're like, oh, hell no.
Yeah, because when they kept reliving the barn scene, because he never really said how many times he was there, but where she dies, that as soon as she starts the chopper, that thing comes out of nowhere.
That thing swarms around that chopper, dude, like a fucking bat out of hell. And I was just... That thing was freaky. And that scene, dude, that was a really good scene between Emily Blunt and Tom Cruise.
They did that. I mean, I know she's like, I think she's like 29, maybe 30. And Cruise is pushed.
Wow.
I think she's that young. Oh, she's
31. She's pretty young.
And Cruise is pushing 50, right?
Yeah, he's about 53, if I'm not mistaken.
But their chemistry.
You want to see them date?
Yes.
You want to... Seriously, Cruz, man doesn't age. I can give him that because he looked damn good in the film. But the longer this movie went on, the more I was just like, I really love those two. And this is a movie where people say, don't you hate the romantic love angle they always throw in here, people in whatever, in these movies? This is a movie where they didn't throw that in there.
And it's not shoehorned?
It didn't get shoehorned. It didn't just come out of nowhere. But their relationship was so good together, I wanted to see them get together.
And just like the comedy, it didn't take away from the movie. They didn't focus, kind of think Man of Steel, where they focused so much on the relationship with Lois Lane and Superman. They didn't do that on here. They didn't hit at it at all until the end.
This has anime elements in it, video game elements in it. I mean, because I know it's based off a manga. I forgot the name of that thing,
too. I never knew this was a book.
I want to see a sequel. I'm not going to lie. I'm going to get a little ahead of myself. Maybe I don't want to see sequels. They'll fuck it up or anything like that.
It needs to make money.
Yeah, with the reports I'm hearing it ain't going to do well, but whatever. I hope it does. Whatever. You ready to get in some ratings now, though?
Well, we didn't even talk about the ending.
The ending, pretty much, Cruz has to sacrifice Emily Blunt. Leg is fucked up. He has to sacrifice her, and she volunteers to run off to distract the Alpha here. As he kills her, she distracts him, he goes, drops some bombs down to the brain, if you will.
And gets stabbed by the Alpha.
That was an intense scene. He gets stabbed by the Alpha, but then the brain kind of just, like, as it's dying, the blood is flowing through, it connects over Cruz's body and shit like that. And when he dies, he wakes back up. Back on the hell, dude, I thought they started over again. I was about to say, oh.
But they started right before he met the general.
Yeah, right before he met the general, and they won the war, apparently.
Yeah, I guess they said there's a shockwave throughout Paris.
Yeah.
And the mimics are easier to defeat now.
Yeah, dude, I thought they started all the way back, all the way. I was just like, oh my God.
And then Cruz, you know, still being a major, he goes to see Rita, and oh my God, how hot was she when she was in that pose?
Man, she was working out people when he went to go see her. She didn't know who he was, which I was just like, damn, dude, how can you keep doing this to yourself, whatever? He didn't know who he was, and then he goes and just says, he didn't say anything. He looks at her, the camera points at him, and the movie cuts off and says, Edge of Tomorrow, and you're just like...
Yeah, she says a thing, because he always stared at her. And yeah, she goes,
says, can I help you or something like that?
She's like, do I have something on my face, soldier? And she says it to a major. I'm like, bitch has balls.
And then he looks at her, and then the screen cuts off, and it says Edge of Tomorrow, and all you hear in the back of the theater, fuck yes!
Was that you?
Yeah, that was me. Oh, I got a boner.
Him, he ended it with his little creepy smile.
Snap it to a Slim Jim, brother.
Oh God, I want to see. I'm so buying this on Blu-ray. I want to see this in IMAX.
Dude, okay, we gotta talk about IMAX 3. Like, unlike Godzilla, another thing, like unlike Godzilla, these things were effective. Unlike the monsters in Godzilla, all they did was destroy shit.
Which and they weren't in it. And they weren't in it for an hour. You know,
fucking huge. But unlike Godzilla, the 3D and the IMAX in here. It's fucking spectacular.
I missed it by a half hour.
I heard some people that saw it on little screens said that some of the shit was cut off. Like, the words at the bottom of the screen were cut when they were doing the news thing at the beginning of the film. They said it was cut off. I was like, this is an IMAX film. You have to see this in IMAX. And I've been noticing a lot about Tom Cruise's films lately. He's been diving into IMAX a lot lately.
It's the moneymaker.
I don't blame him, neither, because I think now with Mission Impossible, even Oblivion, too, that was a hard movie to review as far as game, because it's, like, beautiful. It's everything you need, and I think you need to see it in IMAX, but the story isn't really all that great. But Oblivion, The Last Mission Impossible, and this one, they are IMAX films.
What about Jack Reacher?
Jack Reacher? It was just a simple. You didn't need to see that one in IMAX. It was more... That was a story-based movie. It wasn't an action-packed or anything like that.
One thing I'm very surprised at, Cruise didn't produce this movie like he usually does.
To be honest, it came out of nowhere for me.
This got really hyped. This I saw previews for this a lot. No more than that fucking the Love movie.
Did you really? Because I think I saw more for the Love movie, but then I don't really watch TV that much, so I don't know if that's how you saw commercials for it.
I saw a lot of commercials for this, but when I went to the movies, I think I saw this for Godzilla and Spider-Man. I saw this trailer. And I'm like,
I saw it for every movie I saw this summer too.
And I'm like, God, I can't wait to see this.
Yeah, this is damn near. God, I don't want to say, I don't want to jump the gun and say best movie of the summer or whatever, because, you know, I don't want to fall on that trail of people saying that, but I will say this is definitely one of the best sci-fi films I've seen in a while now. Next up there, I know I said Her was the best movie I saw, but that was more like, I'm talking about a summer blockbuster sci-fi film. I think this brought back sci-fi summer films. And goddamn, it's about time, because it's been a long time for that.
What was the last one? Pacific.
I don't remember, dude.
Pacific, Godzilla.
There was Elysium.
That was good. I had a little Elysium feel on it when they were wearing those suits.
Yeah, to me, this is better than Elysium. Elysium didn't stick with me that much.
No, I agree with you on that, too.
I thought Elysium was fine for a one-time viewing, but I really have no, like, wanting to go back to see it again or whatever. I'm just like, yeah, it was that or whatever it is. I felt nothing for the characters or anything like that. I just thought it was cool or whatever stuff.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I'm trying to remember a sci-fi, like you said.
Godzilla, Pacific Elysium. Rim.
Besides superhero, whatever.
But, Pacific Rim's a superhero?
A superhero inference, yeah.
was Looper in the summer?
Looper came out in 2012, and they had, actually, you know what, that came out, yeah, it came out in 2012.
Was that in the summer?
It was August or October, if I'm not mistaken.
That's sci-fi.
Whatever. What would you give the film?
I'm giving this a fucking high full price, man. This is a perfect, enjoyable, edge of your seat summer movie. You will not hate this movie. You can't.
You're giving it a high see it, high full or damn shit.
A high see it, man.
Man, well, you know, I'm gonna give it a stream it, dude, because, you know, I don't want expected knowledge.
This is, yeah. I know I fucked up my rating.
I'm giving it a stream it, dude. Come on now. You know damn well this movie wasn't that good. Come on now. Let's be real. Yeah, dude, this is a high see it too, dude. I had so much fun in the theater. Like, I had a lot of fucking fun. It's almost pushing 2 hours or whatever, and this is the funnest 2 hours I've had in a while.
It didn't seem like 2 hours.
No, it didn't, because the pacing is so goddamn well or whatever. It is so good or whatever. Unlike Godzilla, where it took so much time to build up or whatever, this one hits you right in. I think it hits you with all the right beats, and I love this movie. It is definitely one of my favorite movies of the summer so far.
I've been reading some stuff about it, and some people aren't too keen on the ending.
Well, you know what I gotta say to that to end this or whatever? Fuck those people. Good night, everybody.
Later.
You do know what's happening to me.
What happened to you happened to me. You hijacked their power.
How do I control it?
You have to die. Every day. Keep coming here and I'll train you. Again. Again. Your leg's broken.
No, I'm good.
Then you better start over.
Oh, come on.
I'm not a soldier.
Of course you're not. You're a weapon. They want to conquer the rest of the world. Unless you change the outcome.
We are not equipped for what's out there.
How many times have we been here?
What are you not telling me?
It's gonna be dark in a few hours.
And curl up by the fire and open a bottle of wine.
We should just reset.
Whoa!